This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is part of our episode, The Quest for Sleep. You can find The Pulse on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We love to talk about our dreams, right?
Every time I go through like a change in my life, I have a dream that my teeth are falling out.
I guess the ones that are always memorable are the ones that involve falling.
Every time I'm sick, I have the same dream where I end up singing karaoke to Hotel California and I'm backed up by the Muppet Band.
It was me, my ex, and David Bowie.
That sounds like the beginning of a great story, right? So our most vivid dreams happen during a specific stage of sleep, REM sleep.
Your heart rate is elevated, your blood pressure rises, and you have all this neural activity going on in your brain.
That's neuroscientist Balan Jalal. He says that during REM sleep, you're lying in bed, your heart is beating, and all of these neurons are firing. The part of your brain that processes emotion, the limbic system, lights up so much that it looks the same as when you're awake. Some scientists think that the reason we dream is to make sense of all those random emotional fireworks. Other parts of our brain turn totally off during REM sleep, like the part that controls logic. That's probably why dreams so often don't make a lot of sense.
And then the priest said, and at that point, you have to get down and grovel. And I said, you mean get down on the floor and grovel? And he said, yes.
It was in this really creepy church and it was dark and there's lightning flashes outside. And I remember like realizing that I had been possessed and that I was gonna do something horrific.
By the way, there's no real difference between a dream and a nightmare. A nightmare is basically just a dream that stresses you out. So do the crazy dreams that we have during REM sleep have a purpose? Here is neuroscientist Balan Jalal again.
So one theory for why we dream or even have nightmares is that it has a survival mechanism. So if you, in your dream, see yourself, I don't know, like wrestling with a bear or something, that is going to make you more likely to, when you encounter that in real life, be able to deal with a situation like that.
I don't dream about bears, but I do dream about being late for work or not being able to finish a project on time, and it's always stressful. But there is another kind of nightmare that sounds a lot worse than that.
You're completely paralyzed and you're half awake.
A feeling like I'm about to wake up. But then I realized that I can't move.
I knew the bathtub was overflowing.
And most of the time it's like someone like standing over your bed who's gonna murder you.
I often feel that there are people with me in the room.
And I also knew that there was a stranger wandering around the house.
The best way I can sum it up is like a feeling of suffocating.
I couldn't move to hide or defend myself against the stranger, and I couldn't get up to turn off the bath water.
It really is like my consciousness is stuck underwater.
Sometimes I can wake myself up by screaming.
This inability to move, the feeling of a presence in the room or pressure on your chest, it's called sleep paralysis. It's a glitch that happens during the REM sleep phase when you're having intense, weird dreams. And during that phase, all of us are paralyzed to stop us from acting out our dreams, maybe jumping out of a window if you're dreaming that you can fly.
A part of the brain in the brain stem totally paralyzes you during REM sleep.
But the people who get these horrifying nightmares, they are partially awake during REM sleep and their body is still unable to move.
The first thing you do is like, my God, let me get out of here, right? So you start sending all these command neurons down to your body, to your arms, to your legs, move, right? Move, move.
Your brain and your body are out of sync. So your brain is trying to construct some kind of narrative around what's happening to you. Maybe you'll hallucinate and think there is a presence in the room. Balan has done studies of sleep paralysis in different countries around the world, and it seems like it's present everywhere, but some countries have higher rates of it.
This was very surprising to us, that specific beliefs about sleep paralysis can profoundly shape the experience.
So essentially, if you have a cultural narrative around sleep paralysis, you're more likely to experience it. And if you've experienced it once, you're more likely to experience it again and to tell other people about it who then also might get it. Balan offers up a hypothetical example about a girl named Lisa.
Lisa is told by her grandmother that this creature known as the boogeyman It's going to attack you at night. It's going to strangle you. It's going to press on your chest, you know, so be careful when you go to sleep. Now, little Lisa, because of what her grandmother said, she's actually primed to having sleep paralysis. She's predisposed now because she's going to be more anxious, first of all, and having nocturnal anxiety, that might predispose you. Secondly, she might start unconsciously monitoring her sensations in her body of being paralyzed or not, because she's kind of expecting something to hold her down while she's sleeping. And then given all the aspects of REM sleep and dreams, she's gonna create this very, very colorful and exotic narrative around what's going on, right? And the boogeyman's gonna attack her.
So what can you do to stop the boogeyman?
Don't panic. Stay calm.
And try to remind yourself that sleep paralysis is totally normal and can be explained by science. Balan Jalal is a neuroscientist at Cambridge University in England.